Be seated. John chapter 8, I'd like to read two verses for us. John chapter 8, what a privilege it is to be here. What a privilege it is to serve Jesus. And what a great weekend. Let me plead with you, pray about this weekend, work hard this weekend, and then bring what God allows you to bring in this weekend. People, whether they're on the bus routes, whether they're their drive-ins, whoever they might be, bring everyone you can to the gospel. Aren't you glad you got saved? And what a great weekend. What a great day as we think about this weekend and how Jesus gave his life for us. Thank you for the special that was just sung. And I appreciate, thank you, Brother Douglas, for the opportunity and privilege it is to preach. 10.5 years now teaching here at the college has been a joy of my life. And I'm thrilled serving God on the mission field, but as time goes on, there's nothing like serving Jesus. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 8 and verse number 28 and 29. I'm going to ask us a question because I think it's a question that all of us must ask, faculty, staff, students. And as I read the passage, I'm going to give you a question. The question is, do we want to please our Father? Do we want to please our Father? John chapter 8, verse number 28 says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone." And here's the key thought here, "For I do always those things that please him." I'm going to pray in just a moment. When Pastor Wilkerson, I'm not sure, it may have been a year or two ago, he drew our attention to this verse. And I'll just be very honest with you, that's probably one of the most convicting verses I had heard in years. Because if we're honest with ourselves this morning, there are many times throughout the day where there are things in our life that really just don't please him. Now, I believe that bringing people to church pleases God. I believe going soul winning pleases God. I believe reading our Bible pleases God. I believe prayer, I believe coming to chapel and saying amen and encouraging one another. I believe singing songs like we just sang, I believe that pleases God. I believe submitting to your authority. I believe all those things please God. But if we were just honest, I'm going to ask you this morning to draw a circle around yourself and ask God, is there anything in my life that doesn't please you? And I have to do that on a daily basis. And many times, God doesn't tiptoe around our life. He points it right out and says, there it is. Fix it. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for your kindness. What a great student body we have. What wonderful students. And Lord, just to think about the opportunity for these students to turn the world upside down for you. It's tremendous. It's amazing. It's overwhelming to realize that you're with us today and you help us and you minister through us and you work with us as we do your work. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray that your will be done. Help me to step out of the way, and I pray that you'd step in Jesus' name. Amen. As I look at this passage, there are various observations I see here, and I'm probably going to switch over. I think, Brother Stephen, I'm going to switch over to this one here. But as I see in this passage, I see, first of all, Jesus relied on his Father for strength. I'm going to go to the thought in just a moment, but verse number 28 says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he," and that the next phrase says, "I do nothing of myself." That phrase there, "I do nothing of myself." As a man, I think if we're all honest this morning, we do a lot in our own flesh. We do a lot in our energy. And I found out about 6 months ago, and I joke about it because it's better than crying about it, right? And I'm allergic to tic-tac-toe these days and don't even mention the game and so forth. But I'll never forget getting off the gym floor that day. You know I'd bring this illustration up anyway, and so you were hoping, and otherwise you would have held signs up. As he mentioned, talking about tripping, I immediately went back to that. I was like, man, I didn't trip over anything. It was just my leg gave way, and the tendon gave way, and a few other parts of my leg gave way, and praise the Lord. But I remember getting up from that. I remember the next 2 weeks, my wife had to basically wait on me hand and foot, which wasn't necessarily a bad thing, but as a man, listen carefully, as a man, I became, if I can just say it very plainly, I became powerless. I had to find other teachers to teach classes. I had to listen to all the Bible conference online, and I watched every service that was online. But for those 2 weeks, it was like a reality check for my life. And it was one of those things where I went to that situation, and I was literally powerless. I couldn't walk from one room to the next. And as I tried to sit there uncomfortably and tried to do a few things here and there, I found out that I can't do it in my strength. As a 39-year-old man, I'd never had any issues. And rather than whining and griping and saying, God, why did you do this? I went back and I said, God, I had 39 years where I didn't have any problems with my leg. And for you to allow this in my life, and then I realized 2 weeks later my mom broke her leg and has been in long-term care since then. And as I go to physical therapy and see others that have had other situations, it really makes me glad for my injury being as minor as it is compared to other people that I see there. And being one of the youngest people in that physical therapy is kind of intimidating, but that's another story in and of itself. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 15, though. Jesus relied on his Father for strength. Jesus relied on his Father for strength. Look at John chapter 15. John 15 in verse 5 says this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth. What's the next two words? Isn't that what you want this weekend? I want that this weekend, for without me ye can do nothing. Psalm 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 46 and verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I see, first of all, first observation is that Jesus relied on his Father for strength. So I ask us the question, as we'll give a few more observations, who do we rely on for strength? Do I rely on my personality? Do I rely on what I can do? Do I rely on my friends or my family or my this or my whatever it might be? Or do I rely on my Father for strength? Because he has strength. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28. And by the way, he wants to give you power for this weekend. He wants to give you power to finish this semester and for those that are not graduating to come back and finish. Number one, Jesus relied on his Father for strength. Number two, secondly, I see, Jesus repeated what his Father said. John 8 and verse 28 again. Look back with me if you would. John 8, and you may want to hold your place here. We'll come back to it a few times. John 8 and verse 28 says, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. Of course, we need our Father for strength, just like Jesus did. But then it says, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And so secondly, I see Jesus repeated what his Father has said. I had a tremendous thrill just over the last week. We had gone out soul winning, and when I came back from soul winning, my son had gone teen soul winning, and then I went back out after I dropped him off. And when I came back home, he said, I got some great news for you. I said, well, tell me. He said, I just won our neighbor to Christ. And it's a neighbor we've been working with for 8 years now. And I said, how did you do it? And he said, well, he said, I wanted to rake her leaves. And he said, I was trying to kind of get a little bit of spending money. And he said, that was kind of the hope as I was, you know, as a 13-year-old, I just wanted to see what I could do to help people. And as she said, I don't have any money to give to you, he made the statement. He said, how about I just do it free for you? And of course, she wasn't expecting that. And she said, okay. And so he raked her leaves. And after he finished, he said, what can I do for you? He said, well, let me just ask you a question. He said, if you don't go to church anywhere, if you do go to church, would you like to come for our Easter program? And gave her a track. And then he said, and beyond that, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And she said, yeah, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. She was Catholic, she told him. And she's never talked with us. We've been trying for 8 years to talk with her. And yet God used our son, and I'm thrilled about that. But she said, yes, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. And he said, well, do you think you can ever lose that if you do anything wrong? And she said, yes, I can lose that. He said, well, you wouldn't want to lose that, would you? If I could show you from the Bible how you could know for sure, wouldn't you like to? And she said, yes, I would. And she bowed her head and trusted Christ as Savior. Lord willing, she'll be in church on Sunday. And I think about that, and you know all he was doing was repeating what his Father told him in the Word of God about witnessing and about going soul winning. And he came back and he said, Dad, I said, how did you do so well? He said, well, Dad, I've been soul winning with you dozens of times, and I've heard what you've said, and I know what God told me to say, and I know what the Holy Spirit told me to say, and I witnessed to her. As the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And John chapter 14 and verse 10, I'll read it for you. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Yesterday I asked a couple classes to pray as I went back to physical therapy for 50-something sessions so far, and I've got a few more. And yes, I'll be careful down the stairs, no worries. We're not in the gym, okay? And I did have a few questions last week about, do you ever get nervous about coming in here? And I started shaking. No, I don't. But listen carefully. Yesterday I said, would you pray for the physical therapist, and that I wanted to give them some invitations. But it's awkward because it's a lot of people in a small room. And so she brought it up. She asked me the question. She said, well, what are you doing for Easter? And I didn't really know how do you tell someone that doesn't know Jesus and so forth? I said, well, I'm going to be part of an Easter musical. And that's not really what it's called. I know it's church. Okay, I understand that. But I said, oh, she said, that sounds exciting. And she's from India, been in the States now 12 years. And I said, what do you do? And since she'd asked me, I asked her, so what are you doing for Easter? She said, well, normally I'd go to this person's house, but they're in India right now. And she said, I really don't have any plans. I said, well, I think you ought to make plans to come to our church on Sunday. And by the end of physical therapy, she had no plans. And by the end of physical therapy, there were three or four people that had invited her out for lunch and this and that. And then she said, and I got that service. What time does it start again? 6 o'clock. And hopefully she'll come on Sunday. All I was trying to do was repeat what my Father had told me. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus, first of all, he relied on his Father for strength. Second of all, he repeated what his Father had said. And then last night I had the privilege again. There's a man that has come to our church on Christmas Day. And last night I talked with him again. And he said, oh, that's right, Easter Sunday. I said, yeah, it's a real good day to come to church. He said, that's right, I need to come to church on Sunday. And hopefully he'll be there on Sunday as well. And just work with people. I believe if the gospel was given to us, we ought to give it to somebody else. So first observation is Jesus relied on his Father for strength. Number two, Jesus repeated what his Father had said. Number three, Jesus remembered his Father's presence. Jesus remembered his Father's presence. Look back at John chapter 8, verse number 29. It says, and he that sent me is, what's the next two words? With me. Say it again. He is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. And aren't you glad we're not left alone? My daughter was 2 years old, and we were heading somewhere. I think it was Walgreens or something. We were down in South Carolina, near the Holy Land of North Carolina. And we were down there, and on the way to the store, I'll never forget her as a two-year-old. She said, Daddy? And I said, yes. She said, I can't see you. And I thought she was done, and she said, but I know you're there. And I said, is it okay you can't see me? She said, yeah, it's okay that I can't see you, because I know you're there. Let me just state, you never can see God. But if you're very honest, you'll feel his presence on your route tomorrow. You'll feel his presence on your bus. You'll feel his presence in chapel as you listen and pay attention and say amen. I don't know about you, but I love having the presence of not only my heavenly Father, but I like the presence of my earthly Father. Since my mom's incident, I've called or texted my dad every single day for the last 6 months or 5.5 months. There's just something about that. He called me yesterday. He said, I know you're probably somewhere, and I was in chapel. My phone vibrated. It was not on. It didn't ring, all right? But I listened to it after chapel, and he made the statement. He said, Jeremy, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you that God will use you today, that God will help you today, that God will be with you and your family. And I'll just state it plainly. There's something about if you have a heritage like that, you ought to thank the Lord for your Christian parents. And if you don't have a heritage like that, you ought to thank the Lord that somehow the gospel is given to you and you can give someone else a good godly heritage. So I see that Jesus relied on his Father for strength. I see that Jesus repeated what his Father said. Number three, I said Jesus remembered his Father's presence. Look back at Exodus chapter 33, please. Exodus chapter 33, a familiar passage, but I'd like for us to see it this morning. I'm not to the main point of the message yet, but I'm heading there. Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 14. You're welcome. I mentioned Jesus earlier, but let's continue. Verse number 14. Yeah. Verse number 14. And he said, my presence, back to the lesson. Okay, I just lost quite a few of you. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto them, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Let me just state very plainly, listen carefully. Let me plead with you, before you go out tomorrow, don't go out by yourself. I guess the most frustrating thing while I was in college was to go on a weekend all day on Saturday, leaving early in the morning, coming back 9 or 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and coming back in the... I know, spiritually speaking, theologically speaking, the Holy Spirit didn't stay in my dorm. I know that he's with me, okay? But as I went back, I'd almost kind of hear him nudge me saying, didn't you need me today? Those are some of the most frustrating days of soul winning because I did it by myself. Can I plead with you? When you go on the route tomorrow, get on your knee and say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, work through me. Holy Spirit, work in every home. Holy Spirit, work with this father and that father. And Holy Spirit, would you walk down these streets? Would you walk with me? Would you be with me? Would you give me your presence? Would you give me your power? Would you give me your wisdom? Would you give me understanding? It may be that as you get up from your knees, somebody says, can I help you? And then you can witness to them before you ever knock on doors. I've had it happen many times while I was in college. I've had it happen many times since. I don't know about you, but I need the presence of God. You need the presence of God. I believe our college has the presence of God, but it's not enough that our college has the presence of God. We need individually the presence of God. Statement number one, Jesus relied on his Father for strength. Number two, Jesus repeated what his Father had said. Number three, Jesus remembered his Father's presence. I'll read another passage as I go to point number four. Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Let me just state plainly, if you have the presence of God, you're joyful. There's joy in the presence of God. Number four, Jesus rejoiced in pleasing his Father. Jesus rejoiced in pleasing his Father. Back to the reference of John chapter 8 and verse number 29. One more time, let's go back there. John 8:29 says, and he that sent me is with me, the Father that hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And so Jesus rejoiced in pleasing his Father. Now let me just state plainly, I'll just be very, as blunt as I can be, I want to please my dad. I want to please my dad. He called me this week, listen carefully if you would. He called me this week and he said, Jeremy, just kind of call you. He said, I just stopped by McDonald's. Now, understand this. He goes every single day, all day, spends all day at the long-term care with my mom to go back home to go to sleep, to do it all back in again the next day for now for 5.5 months. So he only stops to get a bite to eat or bring her food or whatnot. And he said, I stopped at McDonald's. He said, and I was going to walk out. He said, but the Holy Spirit grabbed me. He said, the Holy Spirit stopped me. He said, there's somebody right there. And he said, I listened to the Holy Spirit, and I walked over. And if you know my dad, he doesn't know any strangers. I mean, everybody is his friend or neighbor or relative or something, brother. And he just sat beside him. And he said, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And they said, no, I don't. He said, you probably should. Can I share with you how you could know that? They trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. He said, I didn't call you to ask you to pray. I called you just to rejoice that as a 66-year-old man, God's still using me. Now listen very carefully. My dad's never been in full-time Christian service, but he's a full-time Christian. Oh, that we would be full-time Christians. Oh, that we wouldn't just say, well, I serve Christ full-time. Oh, that we would say, I'll be a full-time Christian. Whether I'm at the college, or whether I'm at work, or whether I'm at play, I want to be a full-time Christian. And I want to please my Father. Let me just state beyond that. I want to please my Heavenly Father. Oh, I want to please Him. You say, what does the word please mean? In this passage, it means to satisfy Him. It means to content Him. Listen, I don't want just God to not be angry with me and God just to tell me, don't do this and don't do that. I want God to say, that's my boy. That's my boy. And as you go out visiting, you know what he's probably telling the angels? There's my son. Do you see him? There's my daughter. She just won someone to Christ. She just put someone on the bus. She just won the bus program. She just did this. He just did that. That's my boy. That's my girl. Oh, that we would please God. Oh, that we would please God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 says, and whatsoever things we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. My wife and my children do real well at pleasing me. And I don't necessarily need that, but normally I'll come home, my wife will say, this is what I have for supper. What do you think? And she probably gets tired of me saying it, but I'll say, this is the best meal I've ever had. And she'll say, oh, you always say that. And I'll say, yeah. I say, because it's the only meal I got right now. And I'm thankful. I'm very pleased at what you've done for me. And many times my daughter or my sons will write a note, or they'll say, normally even the service, and I know they're supposed to be taking notes, and I know they're not supposed to be jotting anything, but they'll put a little, I love you, and they'll stick it in my Bible, and it'll be something that I don't even know what page it is then, and I'll try to look for wherever they put it and try to find it somewhere. And, you know, as you go soul winning, as you knock on doors, it's kind of a little note you're giving to God, I love you. You know, as you give your faith promise, it's I love you, God. You know, as you get on your knees, it's I love you, God. You know, as you go and you have a prayer meeting, you say no to sinful appetites and actions. You say, God, I just want to let you know again, I love you. I want to please you. I want to do those things that please you, Father. I don't want to disappoint my daddy. I don't want to disappoint my heavenly Father. So let me ask the question, what pleases our Father? Let me give us four things that pleases our Father. Number one, magnifying his name pleases our Father. Magnifying his name. Turn to Psalm 69, if you would. Psalm 69, we'll read verses 30 and 31. There is no name like our God, like the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Rose of Sharon, like the Lamb of Glory, like the Lamb of God, like the Alpha and the Omega. There's no God like our God. There is no other Savior. That's why we go out on the weekends. There are a lot of other college students in other places that they'll spend their weekends for themselves. We don't. We get to spend it for him. And on night buses, you get finished and you come back and you're weary and you're tired and you're all drug out and you just kind of think, I can't make it any farther. I can't do any more. You just kind of look up and say, God, are you pleased? Are you pleased? Do you like this, Father? I think he likes us magnifying his name. He likes his word being magnified. But Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31, I will praise the name of God with psalm, and I will magnify with thanksgiving. This also shall, what's the next three words? Help me out. The next three words? Please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that have horns and hoofs. So you know what he's saying? Rather than you making a sacrifice, just magnify my name. You know what that's you're doing? Somebody's going to mock you tomorrow. Somebody's going to say, oh, you go to that Indiana church. Stand up humbly, but at the same time, thrilled with where God's. Yes, I do. Would you like to come? Easter musical. Don't say it that way, but let's continue. Back to the sermon. But as you go out, magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next time someone curses him, you may want to kind of stand beside him and say, he's my best friend. As they say Jesus Christ, but in a very derogatory manner, just maybe a tear will open your eye and say, yeah, he's my best friend. I wonder if it would change our appetites. I wonder if it would change our actions. I wonder if it would please the Lord. Number one, magnify his name. Number two, I believe another way that God is pleased is his word going out. His word going out. As you have your bus meeting tomorrow, you ought to be there. I'll be at our meeting, Super Saturday Soul Winning at the church, and I'm there every time that they have the Super Saturday Soul Winning because I love his word going out. I'll just state it plainly. I don't always feel it on Saturday mornings. I don't always jump out of bed. Ha, 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 today's Saturday. Group huddle. Jesus. I'm not always feeling it. You say, why do you do it? Because it pleases him. And it pleases him. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, that shall not return unto me void. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah right there. It's not in the passage, just praising his name. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereunto I sent it. Turn to Galatians chapter 1, if you would. Galatians 1. You're listening well? Listen carefully. Galatians 1. Galatians 1. Let's look at a couple of passages here. Galatians 1, let's look at verse 10 and then 15 and 16. Galatians 1, verse number 10, it says here, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What a powerful statement there. Listen carefully. This message this morning is not to please you. This message is intended to please him. My visitation tomorrow, the Sunday class that I have the privilege of teaching, the class that I'll teach after chapel, and the three that I taught this morning, and the leading of singing this morning, it wasn't for you, and I'm glad that we were all here, but it was ultimately to please him. Galatians 1, verses 15 and 16 says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might," what? "Preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." And of course, we see the Apostle Paul here saying that God's word going out pleases him. Number one, magnifying his name pleases him. Number two, God's word going out pleases him. Number three, having a separated life pleases him. I said having a separated life pleases him. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Oh, I want to please God. Don't you want to please God this morning? Don't you want God to look down and say, "Oh, their life smells so good. Oh, their prayer time smells so good. Oh, their Bible study smells so good. Oh, their attention in class. Oh, their attention in chapel. Oh, their discipleship smells so good." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let me just state plainly, oh, that we would have every young man and every young lady say, "I want to live a separated life." Listen carefully. We ought to decide right now, I don't want later on to regret things that I do in college or afterwards. I want to please my Father. I don't want to go for everything. "What's wrong with that, God? Well, what's wrong with that, God? Oh, why can't I wear that? And why can't I go there? And why can't I watch that? And why can't I listen to that, God?" No. Maybe we should kneel down and say, "God, what would you like for me to do this afternoon? God, what would you like for me to do tomorrow? What would you like for me to do on Sunday? What would you like for me to read today? What would you like for me to look at today? What would you like for me to listen to today?" He'll tell you. He'll tell you. Do we want to please our Father? And I believe you do. I believe that's why you're here. But number one, magnifying his name. Number two, God's word going out. Number three, living a separated life. Number four, living by faith. Oh, it's a great song. Living by faith in Jesus. And it's great. We all belt it out. Living is a whole other thing. Most of us would say, "Let's sing it again. Let's sing it." Because singing it's a whole lot different than living it. God may call some of you to the mission field. Let me say that again. God may call some of you to the mission field. Brother Coffey made a powerful statement at our missions conference. He said, since 95% of the world lives outside the United States, maybe there's a 95% chance you should go to the mission field. Now, I'm not saying that he said that. I'm just repeating it, okay? But I'll make the statement. If you give your life as a missionary, I promise you, you won't regret it. There are villages all around the world that's looking for somebody. There are cities, there are towns, and you know what they're saying? "Come over and help us! Come over and help us!" And God's saying, "That would please me. Oh, but I wouldn't have my iPod and my iPad and my iPhone." And I don't think any of those are making it to heaven. I don't think they're going to matter for eternity. But you know what's going to matter? What we do this weekend. What we do for God today. Let me read one more verse, and then I'll just ask us a couple of personal questions, and then I'll be about through. Psalm 19, verse 14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." That would be a great verse to memorize. Psalm 19, 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let me ask us a few questions, if I could, this morning, and then I'm about through. Does the treatment of your roommates please God? I'm not saying their treatment to you. I'm asking your treatment to them. Because if we're all honest, when we were in college, we didn't always treat our roommates the best. But if you haven't done that, today could be a good day for you to treat them nicely. I would hate to think that we work more diligently on the weekend to get someone saved and discipled and worked with. And I'm all for that. I think I've mentioned that a couple times in the message. But that we wouldn't also treat a roommate who's a future servant of Christ that may be a supporting pastor one day. Come on now. Maybe a youth pastor working in the same church you work in. Maybe a Christian school teacher. Maybe a secretary at the church where you serve. Does the treatment of my roommates please God? Next. Does my dating relationship please God? Does my dating relationship, or you could ask yourself, since I'm not really asking me, does your dating relationship please God? Does how you treat the opposite, does that please God? Let me ask another question. Does my entertainment please God? If it doesn't, it probably should go. It's not real difficult. I was teaching in spiritual warfare this week It's amazing. Most of the movies that have been made in the last 10, 15 years, many of them, they break almost all, if not all, the Ten Commandments. Yet it's our entertainment if we're not careful. Does my entertainment please God? Next. Does my ministry involvement please God? Does my walk with God please God? Does my attitude please God? And I know everyone's got a great attitude. That's probably a yes right there. How about this one? Does my haircut please God? Now, I don't have a whole lot these days anyway, so it doesn't really, well, yeah, it does matter. Okay, stay with me. Just seeing if you're listening, just seeing if you're still with me, all right? Okay, back to chapel. But does it bother you that you have to get a haircut? Does it bother you, men, that you got to shave? Oh, I just don't like doing that. I don't either. Done it for over two and a half decades now. But you know what? I want to look clean and decent for my Savior. I don't think there's anything sinful or wrong necessarily for having a beard, but when we have guidelines here, I've been dealing with the same guidelines 10 and a half years, never had a beard. You know why? Because I've been within the regulations, and I ask myself the question, does my attitude please God? Ladies, ask yourself, does my dress please God? You know what would stop all the dress checks? When you look at the mirror in the morning, ladies, just ask God, Lord, does this please you? Help me out. Does this please you? Does my obedience to the rules please God? Does my attention in chapel and classes please God? Do my future plans please God? Here it is. But I've always wanted to fill in the blank. I ask the question, is that what God always wanted you to do? Or is that what God wants? I have to ask myself the question. I'm not asking you. I'm asking me, does my future plans please God? But it'd be a good question for all of us to ask. Let me ask you, does finishing please God? Let me ask you again, does finishing please God? Let me ask you again, does finishing please God? Listen carefully. I plead with you. I plead with you. Because I talk to people all the time, and this is what they say, oh, I wish I would have finished college. And they'll say, well, I can't go back now. I can't do that now. But you're here. Finish. 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 I believe that would please our Father. Let me turn to one more passage, Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 3, verses, and you listened so well today. But Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says this. Matthew 3, verse 16 says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto them, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There's one thing I'm looking forward to, and I don't know that I'll ever get it, but there's one thing it was the motivation for getting up this morning. It was the motivation for getting up yesterday. It was the motivation. Of course, I want to please my Father. I don't know if he'll ever say it, but I sure would like to hear from my Heavenly Father, well done. Well done. Well done. I ask you the question this morning as we finish the message, and I'll give you a chance to respond if you believe the Holy Spirit wants you to. Is there anything in my life that doesn't please God? Is there anything in my life that doesn't please God? Everyone standing, if you would, let me give you a chance to respond. If there's anything that doesn't, let's make